Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 89 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast that encourages you to take an active part in intercultural dialogue by sharing intercultural news and events with you from all over the world. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and in my show today, I have focused on innovative initiatives for intercultural training in the Euro-Mediterranean region and around the world. We will look at unusual approaches to engage young people in intercultural dialogue. In our first category, absolutely open-minded, we look at a very worthy initiative of the Anna Lindh Foundation in Alexandria, Egypt, who have started to cooperate with open-minded and influential bloggers in Europe and around the Mediterranean in order to encourage intercultural dialogue to restore trust and rebuild bridges.
We have chosen people open-minded and open to dialogue, whether they are blogging on economics or technology or on intercultural dialogue itself, but it's profiles who are open-minded.
In our second category, absolutely on board, we talk to Dr. Orlando, who explains the idea of the scholarship, where this name is taken literally, and scholars of intercultural communication were brought together on a ship in order to learn from each other and to enhance their intercultural awareness. Do not worry, Dr. Orlando will be talking about a real ship, not an intergalactic spaceship.
In science fiction, when human beings encounter an alien being, their first reaction is to be fearful of strangeness. And what the scholarship will do is make people very comfortable and competent with what I call strangeness. Meeting and living and actively learning with people whose ideas are different from yours.
In our last category, absolutely supportive, Andreu Claret, executive director of the Anna Lindh Foundation, explains how they are trying to support bloggers who are in favor of intercultural dialogue to win an important battle in the blogosphere.
There's a strong battle with those who are in favor of dialogue and those who are in favor of hate and confrontation. And if that meeting can help those who are in favor of dialogue, it would be great.
But let us start with the show, which today comes to you from Luxembourg. 2 weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to take part in the Anna Lindh Foundation's Euromed Bloggers Training on Intercultural Dialogue. The Hyperlink Project, an initiative carried out by the Anna Lindh Foundation, gathered 18 influential and open-minded bloggers of the Euro-Mediterranean region. In Luxembourg, in the historical surroundings of the Centre Culturel de la Baie de Neumünster, the bloggers from 17 countries came together for an exchange of views and a training session on the role of blogs in the promotion of intercultural dialogue. As a host of this podcast, I was invited to this interactive training session about intercultural dialogue and took the opportunity to talk to the organizers and trainers before the meeting started. First, I asked them to introduce themselves.
Sarah Zaimi, Morocco, from the Anna Lindh Foundation.
Andreu Claret, Spanish, executive director of the Anna Lindh Foundation, former journalist.
I'm Adam Hill. I work for Consultant Design International based in Newcastle in the UK.
Xavier Barorbea from Barcelona, working as freelance trainer for several European institutions and as trainer for some youth NGOs.
In our first category, absolutely open-minded, I started the interview by asking Andreu Claret, executive director of the Anna Lindh Foundation in Alexandria, Egypt, why they had chosen to invite bloggers in order to promote intercultural dialogue.
Well, the Anna Lindh Foundation is an institution working for intercultural dialogue in the Euro-Mediterranean region. We work with civil society, we work with networks in 43 countries of that area. And of course, we work with tools of communication, and blogging is one of the most important tools if you want to reach people at large, particularly if you want to interact with young people in the area. And that's why we have organized this training course with bloggers to listen to them, first of all, to understand better what they are doing, and to try to work together for a better promotion of intercultural dialogue in this area.
Who is taking part in this, and how did you choose these bloggers?
In fact, we have chosen Euro-Mediterranean bloggers according to different criteria. First of them is the number of visits they have. We have chosen people that have more than 1,500
Who have an impact.
Yes, who have an impact in the region or in their countries. And also people open to dialogue, because we've been through this list of participants and we have chosen people open-minded and open to dialogue, whether they are blogging on economics or technology or on intercultural dialogue itself, but it's profiles who are open-minded, yeah.
Right, now they've come together in Luxembourg to work together on a workshop, and there are two trainers. Maybe you can tell us what your objectives are for the training.
We have a number of objectives for the training. One, obviously, with the Anna Lindh Foundation here, is for the bloggers to be able to learn more about the foundation. One is to discuss intercultural dialogue and how the networks of bloggers can work for a better intercultural dialogue. And,
Information about the Anna Lindh Foundation, what that represents, what is the work that can, what is doing, and maybe to put in contact as well different bloggers to see if there is a potential for networking in the future, to see if they, by engaging into promoting dialogue along the both shores of the Mediterranean Sea in all the countries, how we work it out.
And also the online campaign, we would like them, because the Anna Lindh Foundation has engaged in this Restore Trust and Rebuilding Bridges after the post-war in Gaza and after the economical crisis and all the misunderstanding. So we thought that why not integrate in the bloggers as well to work on this campaign online for us. So we will be having a one-shot campaign all together for Restore Trust and Building Bridges.
So you're talking about these areas where people are worried about wars. Is blogging really what they are doing in their free time?
Why not? I come from Egypt, where we have the headquarters of the Anna Lindh Foundation. Egypt is a country with many, many social problems, as everybody knows, and blogging is a very important activity here. There's no hierarchy in the activities of the people, and blogging is a way to open their mind, to connect with people abroad, and it's a powerful tool for the people from the Arab countries. It's becoming more and more powerful, and that's why it's been interesting that for the Anna Lindh Foundation to organize this meeting. It's going to be a fascinating meeting to understand what they do and how they can work together in favor of intercultural dialogue. Yeah?
And Andrio was absolutely right. All participants had a fascinating exchange on intercultural dialogue during the 2 days in the cultural center. In the training, we noticed that blogging, especially in those areas of the Mediterranean where creating and preserving peace is a constant concern, is a powerful tool for intercultural dialogue. As Andrio expected, the participants described the advantages of blogging, which allows barrier and hierarchy-free communication and access to people in countries where the bloggers would not be allowed to travel. You will hear more about this experience at the end of the show and also in our upcoming shows 91 and 93. But let us now turn from intercultural training in the landlocked Luxembourg to an onboard intercultural environment where the participants of the intercultural training are actually out at sea. The scholarship was an academic program aboard a cruise liner. The students traveled around the world for one semester and participated in an international study program. The intention of the scholarship was to educate the students in an intercultural way. Now, the four key elements of the scholarship program were an onboard classroom learning environment, a multicultural residential and social community, an experimental-oriented port program, and a strategic research initiative. The scholarship offered several onboard learning programs organized around the exploration of subjects in an interdisciplinary area of study. The students, professors, and other staff explored subjects through classroom study, but also planned activities on board, port programs, and informal interaction between them. Furthermore, they offered the study of core subjects which were central to intercultural learning, such as global issues and intercultural communication. Elective subjects and special programs during the port stays completed the offer. Unfortunately, nowadays the ship is back in port for good because of lack of funding. However, before the first trip, we had the opportunity of talking to the president of the scholarship during its planning phase. In our category, absolutely on board, let's listen to his explanation of the scholarship concept.
My name is Dr. Joseph David Olander. I'm headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland, in the United States. I have the honor of being president of the scholarship. I've been lucky throughout my career to have been president of 5 American universities and 2 private universities in mainland China. And when I left my Chinese presidency in the year 2004, I was interested in establishing a very different, very transnational higher education institution with a venue on board a cruise liner. And therefore, the idea was born that way. And we will be recruiting students from around the world to be students on board the ship at the university levels of graduate and postgraduate. And we'll be recruiting faculty from around the world. So there will be a multicultural learning community. And our, besides the technical courses they'll be taking as part of their educational preparation, we're going to emphasize into intercultural communication and intercultural leadership skills.
So while students were aboard the cruise liner for a whole semester, they were trained to become intercultural experts. I asked Dr. Olander about the personal benefits for the students who went on this extraordinary learning journey. As a member of the science fiction and fantasy writers in America, he comments that terms like intercultural, international, and global held such a limited meaning for him, as he was rather used to thinking in broader terms of intergalactic or interspatial. He compares the new experiences of the students on the scholarship with explorers coming into contact with alien beings and being fearful of what he calls strangeness. Now, the aim was to turn this fear into comfort and competence with all aspects of strangeness, including different languages, religious preferences, cultures, and races. He adds that in this process, students become more attractive for multinational corporations, as it is no longer satisfactory to be only familiar with one foreign language and one's own culture. Corporations would much rather look out for college graduates with intercultural and international competence skills. So now let us hear why students would join the journey.
Well, first of all, it will enhance their personal fulfillment of life. I am a member of the Science Fiction Writers of America. So when I hear people use words like intercultural, international, and global, I think they're decidedly parochial terms. I'm interested in intergalactic, interspatial programs, but that will have to wait until later. Sometimes in science fiction, when human beings encounter an alien being, their first reaction is to be fearful of strangeness. And what the scholarship will do is make people very comfortable and competent with what I call strangeness. Mm-hmm. Meeting and living and actively learning with people whose ideas are different from yours, whose language is different from yours, whose religious preference, whose culture are different from yours, and whose race is different from yours. And that will be very, very much to the advantage of one's personal fulfillment. Secondly, every program we have on board the ship will enhance the students' degree program at their home university. There is no subject that cannot be more enhanced by having a cross-cultural communication experience. And thirdly, we're learning from multinational corporate human resources officers that multinational corporations are looking for college graduates who have intercultural competent skills. It's no longer satisfactory for a multinational corporation to hire a person with one other language skill and a familiarity with one culture. The emphasis for these human resource officers is to have people who are, to use my language, comfortable and confident with strangeness, because their companies are all over the world, and to have people who know how to deal with the intercultural communication challenges is very much in the best interest of the corporation.
Although the scholarship project unfortunately had to be put on hold due to funding difficulties, efforts are still being made to embark on this intercultural journey again sometime in the future. We will certainly keep our fingers crossed for this very unusual and experimental form of intercultural training. But let us return to the intercultural training of bloggers by the Anna Lindh Foundation. In our last category, Absolutely Empowered, I asked Adam Hill, one of the trainers, how you can hope to train bloggers in intercultural dialogue, keeping in mind that bloggers are sometimes considered as digital prima donnas, as anarchic computer geeks, but certainly as very independent individuals. So how can you train bloggers?
I don't think so much the aim is to train the bloggers as such. I think, especially with the people who have been chosen, these are already essentially experts in their field. I mean, that's not really the aim. The aim is to bring the bloggers together, to create a network, to be able to share resources, share ideas, and increase the intercultural dialogue between the bloggers, the communities who visit their blogs, and the greater civil society.
It's also to duplicate the message. Maybe they could lead other initiatives home with other bloggers and inspire others.
When these bloggers are going home, what would you like them to say about this meeting in Luxembourg?
In fact, we would just like to inspire them and to share with them the values of the Anna Lindh Foundation and the values of dialogue as a human value in general. And we will let them do the rest. We trust them.
Any challenges that you see? I saw you putting your heads together earlier today to plan all this. Anything that you are a little worried about now before the start?
Worried? No.
No, more than worried. I feel really excited. You know, I am myself a journalist, but a journalist who's been working with other tools in my life. And I'm very much excited about listening and learning. So we're not here to train the bloggers. We are here to have a fruitful meeting with them and to listen and to understand and to work better together in the future.
I think it's also fair to say that there's nothing like this happened before, and I think it's a very exciting concept in that sense. You know, building networks around in a region where the work that can be done through dialogue is immense. You know, it's huge.
Let's imagine in 2 years' time people are talking about this meeting. What would you hope the outcome of this has been?
If we reach together, right? It's not just a goal of the Anna Lindh Foundation, but together with them, if we make the bloggers who are in favor of dialogue more powerful. No? But you have the impression that in what is called the bloggers' fair, there's a strong battle with those who are in favor of dialogue and those who are in favor of hate and confrontation. And if that meeting can help those who are in favor of dialogue, it would be great. Huh?
And this is certainly what happened. The meeting in Luxembourg was a great incentive for the bloggers who took part in it to exchange ideas, start networks, and as a group, further the idea of creating intercultural dialogue to restore trust and rebuild bridges. You will, in fact, hear more about what happened in the intercultural training during our upcoming shows 91 and 93. I made more interviews with the participants and asked them to share their experiences of intercultural blogging with you. So we have a lot to look forward to. If you are interested in getting in touch with these bloggers, why not leave a comment on our blog page at absolutely-intercultural.com, and I will put you in contact with my blogger friends. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 21st of August. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.